for Tuesday, June 29th, 2021. John, I never thought I'd be saying I would rather be in Tucson than Seattle or Portland at the end of June. But man, this Tucson weather looks really good to me when hearing about temperatures over 110 in Seattle and Portland. That is crazy. I mean, it was even at the top of Mount Rainier, 14,000 feet. It was 75 degrees. A craziness. We're in our 11th year on the radio in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio on 1030 Tucson's Voice for Trusted News Talk, worldwide live listening at buckmastershow.com, where we piggyback the live feed from kvoi.com. Our live line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Speaking of the live line, let's go to it right now and bring in Dr. George Hammond. Dr. Hammond directs the Economic and Business Research Center at the Eller College of Management at the University of Arizona. George, how are you, sir?
I'm doing great, Bill. Thanks.
Good to have you on the program again. We're at the mid-year point, mid-calendar year point, the end of the fiscal year. How are we doing, George Hammond?
Well, overall, Arizona is doing pretty well. The state added almost 13,000 jobs over the month in May, which is the most recent month for which we have data. That means that as of May, we've replaced about 75% of the jobs that we lost during the February to April of 2020 period, that pandemic shock. That's better than the nation. Nationally, we replaced about 66% of the jobs that were lost during that period. So Arizona, even so, still has a long way to go. We're about 84,000 jobs short of where we were before the pandemic struck. Here in Tucson, we're about 15,000 jobs short of the pre-pandemic employment level.
Those monthly totals, are they going up? Is Arizona adding more and more jobs per month?
We are. In fact, we're adding jobs on an over-the-month basis at a rapid pace. On average, from June through May, June 2020 to May of this year, Arizona's over-the-month job growth has averaged just over 9,000 per month. And if we can keep that pace up, we'll be back to our pre-pandemic employment level by February of next year. Now, that's quite a bit faster than our normal, or for instance, our average over-the-month job growth during the 5 years before the pandemic hit. That was about 6,000 jobs per month. And if we return to that average pre-pandemic pace, we'll be back to the pre-pandemic employment high about July of next year.
Is the job growth being spread out evenly among our major metropolitan areas, Phoenix, Tucson, say even the Prescott area?
No, it's been really unevenly distributed across the state. An unusually large chunk of job growth has been concentrated in Phoenix. Phoenix job growth from June of last year to May of this year accounted for about 80% of overall state job growth, and that's a larger share than Phoenix's share of overall total employment. So Phoenix has been driving things, we're unlikely to get back to that pre-pandemic high unless the other metro areas really start contributing a lot more.
Everywhere I go, I see the help wanted sign. I mean, there are jobs available. People are, especially in the service industry, George Hammond, they just cannot fill these jobs.
That's right. You know, we are experiencing labor shortages, and there are, a wide range of factors that are probably contributing at this point. There's probably still some fear among workers about taking jobs in those face-to-face type industries and occupations. It's likely that some workers in those industries and occupations have switched industries, for instance, moving from leisure and hospitality into the transportation and warehousing sector that was growing really strongly even during the pandemic. We've also seen people retire in greater numbers, particularly in those industries. If people were close to retirement and they had the means to retire, they probably did, and they won't be coming back. You also want to keep in mind that the federally funded unemployment insurance benefits were probably also a factor, but those are fading out now. And most of what's driving the labor shortages were these temporary factors that are going to fade away as we go through the remainder of the year. And that will contribute to, you know, solid job growth as we go through the remainder of the year.
How about pandemic-driven shifts? You've got online shopping, delivery services. I would think that that sector, transportation and warehousing, has really been booming.
Yeah, it's been doing really well. Transportation and warehousing is now almost 18,000 jobs above where it was before the pandemic struck. And that was driven by online shopping and the shift to delivery services. We have seen a slowdown, as you might expect, in growth in those sectors during the past couple of months as we start to get back to more normal activities.
And overall, the United States unemployment rate, I think, is about 5.8% in May. Is Arizona above that?
Yeah, Arizona's rate at 6.7% seasonally adjusted is above the national rate. That's kind of a return to the situation that we were in before the pandemic hit, with Arizona's rate a little bit above the national average. And, you know, that may reflect the rapid population growth that we're seeing in Arizona. As people move to a new state, they typically experience a period of unemployment.
You mentioned labor and the whole leisure hospitality. The leisure and hospitality market. Would you imagine that is going to stay, that trying to find people, that's going to continue to be an issue? I know the airlines are scrambling to try to hire people to take care of the huge increase in domestic travel. Do you imagine those levels, though, will stay suppressed?
Well, we are seeing the travel and tourism sector continue to recover. One of the first things that we did in my center was to launch a set of weekly indicators on our Arizona's Economy Online magazine at azeconomy.org. And that sector is recovering. It's still not back to pre-pandemic levels of activity, but I think we're headed in the right direction. And as we move through the rest of the year, that industry will get closer and closer to where we were before the pandemic, and we'll also see these labor shortages gradually ease and hiring will pick up.
George Hammond, coming up at 12:30, we'll be talking with the president of the Tucson Association of Realtors. Our housing market is just still red hot, isn't it?
Absolutely. We're seeing, you know, house price increases over the year of nearly 30% as of May. I think that's being driven by both demand side and supply side factors. You know, demand side is we're likely seeing an increase in migration to Arizona and to Tucson as remote workers are redistributing themselves across the U.S. now that they have some newfound freedom. We're also seeing a number of supply-side factors like reduced housing inventory levels, rising material costs, and these labor shortages that we're all talking so much about. A lot of this, I think, will be temporary factors, and I think we'll see the house prices gradually transition to something a bit more normal as we go through the next year.
Where do you come down, George Hammond, on this whole issue of inflation?
Well, you want to keep in mind that, you know, inflation is a sustained and generalized increase in prices. That's one reason why economists often look at the core inflation rate, excluding food and energy, those two very volatile components. Over the year in May, we saw even core inflation at almost 4%. That's relatively rapid. But again, you know, there are a number of factors driving that. Some of it is because inflation was unusually low last year at this time. When we look back a year, things look like they're rising at a faster pace. In addition, you know, we have the economy restarting at an uneven pace, you know, where employers are for now struggling to hire. And one response to that is to raise prices. In addition, we have a huge amount of fiscal stimulus that's still flowing through the economy and driving demand before the supply chains have fully gotten back to normal. So there are a large number of likely transitory factors that are going to drive inflation certainly over the next couple of months and maybe through the remainder of the year. And thereafter, those transitory factors will fade away.
So you say the current surge in prices is likely to be temporary, George Hammond.
Yes, likely to be temporary, and we should be back to more normal rates of inflation, or at least a more sustained rate of inflation as we get through the remainder of the year. And then the Federal Reserve will re-examine the situation and make decisions on what they need to do to make sure that inflation doesn't remain well above target in a sustained way that they would feel like they had to respond to.
All right, George Hammond, always a pleasure. Thank you, George.
Thanks, Bill. Take care.
George Hammond directs the Economic and Business Research Center at the Eller College of Management at the University of Arizona. Coming up next, Shelley Fishman with me in studio. We'll continue our discussion on the economy. Shelley's kind of giving me a neutral sign with his hand, which means the market's having kind of a neutral kind of day. We'll be right back.
MedCare to You is a new Tucson-based concierge telemedicine urgent care, specializing in caring for our patients in the comfort of your location. We deliver your prescriptions and even provide in-person visits with our dedicated staff. It's convenient, quick, private, and your personal information is always protected. Find out more at MedCareToYouAZ.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson, Tucson International Airport.
A Citizens Advisory Committee of the Regional Transportation Authority is starting to review projects submitted by RTA member jurisdictions for consideration for the next RTA plan. The committee will consider plan goals and performance factors as they move into the selection process. The RTA will seek public feedback on the committee's draft plan when it is ready. Learn more about plan goals and sign up to stay informed at rtanext.com.
Why is mining so important? It's the foundation of everything that defines a society. Everything you see is a product of mining. No matter when, no matter how, no matter why, every society on this planet has developed, grown, and modernized based solely on the minerals it could process. That, my friend, is why mining is so important.
Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at VeroAmorePizza.com.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Are you searching for a sumptuous suite on the Italian Riviera, an exploration of the mighty Mississippi, or an indulgent spa in Cancun? Bon Voyage Travel will help you find exactly the vacation you're looking for anywhere in the world. With many cruises setting sail in over 1,100 hotels and resorts to choose from with our exclusive benefits, Bonvoyage Travel's experienced advisors are here to guide you every step of the way. Visit bvtravel.com or call 797-1110.
If you're out and about right now, how about stopping by Mona's, home of the Danish Kringle, Mona's Danish Bakery. Northeast corner Swan and Sunrise open right now for lunch. They open at 6:30 in the morning for a great breakfast. Breakfast, lunch, you name it, they can take care of you with beautiful European-style breads and pastries. Northeast corner Swan and Sunrise, Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle, on the web at monasdanishbakery.com.
Shelley Fishman is a financial consultant in private practice in Tucson, Arizona. The views expressed during this segment are his own and don't necessarily represent those of this station or of Bill Buckmaster Communications. Contact Shelley through buckmastershow.com or at shelleyfishman.com.
And here he is. Always a pleasure to speak with Shelley Fishman. Shelley, how is your week going so far?
So far the week's pretty good, Bill. How are you feeling?
Being pretty good. 6-week mark since the accident. Physical therapy coming up at 1:30.
Isn't that a delight?
Oh, I'm looking forward to it. I'm going to take that great attitude in there and let her go at it, is try to get that mobility back in my broken right arm. Shelley, it was interesting to hear Professor Hammond, Dr. Hammond of the University of Arizona, talking about the job recovery in Arizona, and especially Phoenix, very strong. Tucson's doing pretty well, though.
Yeah, Tucson's doing well. The state is doing okay, lagging the rest of the country a little bit. Some of that is because of churn, just the inward and outward movement of people as people move in and out of the state. In general, the movement in is higher than the movement out, so that's good. We are on, everything George said. we're on a path to get back to where we were before the pandemic, sometime just after the New Year's. So if we're on track to do that, and let's say that happens in January or February of 22, that would imply a GDP growth in this year of somewhere north of about 6.5%. Which is just an outrageously high GDP growth number. But as Dr. Hammond was saying, because last year was such an anomaly, you really have to look at two-year averages at a minimum to see what kind of track we're on. And, even at that, we'd be on, something like a 2.4%, 2.5% growth pattern. And if that's the slope of the line that we're looking at, that would be fairly healthy growth and very typical of what we've seen over the last 20 years.
The recovery, though, has been built in already, hasn't it, now on the markets, the pandemic recovery?
From the perspective of both bond and equity markets, the forward-looking, and markets are forward-looking, the sentiment has been that the recovery is going to be built in. It's going to happen. It's going to happen faster than anybody expected it would, certainly faster than the recoveries we're seeing in the rest of the world.
Mm-hmm.
As a result, what we saw coming out of the very low period we had in March and April of 2020 has been a very high growth through the end of 2020. And so far, up till this week, if you will, what we've seen is growth in the markets so far this year equaling what, or exceeding actually in some cases, what the average growth for the whole year would be.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's why I'm saying if the markets do what they've done in the past 6 or 8 weeks, which is go nowhere, we're still in a very good pattern for the year. Even if we get the usual summer sluggishness, and then, in October, everybody's afraid of October for lots of good reasons,
mm-hmm.
Then some pickup at the end of the year. I really believe what we'll see is the S&P in the 14 to 15% range for the year, the Dow a little bit less than that. The Nasdaq, who knows? The Nasdaq's on this rocket charge, but the markets have built in a lot of the recovery. A little spooked this week, and maybe 2 weeks ago, by these COVID variants.
Right, the Delta variant.
Yeah, and what we're seeing in some states here in this country, but also in some countries mm-hmm. around the world, they're locking down again because the variants are kind of breaking through.
Yeah, you look at Australia, they've got a hard lockdown going on right now. Part yeah. of the problem, they haven't given had the vaccine. I don't really know what the reason is. It has not been available to many people in Australia, and they've got the Delta variant there. People are very worried about it.
Right, in the UK,
yeah.
We're seeing lockdowns again, and the EU is now blocking travel lots of reasons,
yeah.
some of them political for that. Mm-hmm. But what's happening is we're beginning to see travel restrictions. I know a lot of people who were just saying, we're getting back to Europe, we're going to start traveling mm-hmm. over the summer. You got to be a little cautious about that. If you expect to be crossing over borders, even between EU countries, mm-hmm. there are some that are a little harder to get through than they would normally have been in normal times. So these variants are causing countries to make some decisions about travel and putting people in restrictions when they get into the country. But also the market is reacting somewhat cautiously to the potential for what happens. We're seeing vaccine hesitancy in countries where we never thought we'd see it, and certainly here in this country as well. So, a herd immunity comes around 70-80% of the population.
And what are we right now in the United States? About half.
We're about half.
About
and
50%.
In some states, it's in the 40% range. Hmm. You know, the bottom line is get vaccinated.
Yeah, you got to wonder. There was, we had Dr. Hines on the show last week, and
Matt.
He was talking, Matt Hines, Pima County supervisor, talking about, in his other job besides supervisor, he's a hospitalist at Tucson Medical
sure.
Center. He admitted a 24-year-old healthy young man who had been healthy, now on a ventilator
right.
from COVID.
Right. So
had not been vaccinated.
A much higher percentage of the cases are now happening in younger people.
Yes.
And
yes.
some of those people are winding up in trouble. Hmm. So not only do they have to worry about themselves getting sick, but as carriers of what is a more virulent mm-hmm. Form of this disease, they can infect other people, some of whom are even vaccinated, and with this variant, it can kind of blow through the vaccine. Now, that doesn't mean you're going to wind up in the hospital with a vaccination. You probably are not likely to get a serious case of the disease, but now you're carrying it, mm-hmm. and you're bringing it to older people, and you're bringing it to kids. Mm-hmm. The smart thing to do, put politics aside, put all the, garbage that you hear. The smart thing to do is get vaccinated. And they're even talking about good combinations of, instead of getting, two Moderna or,
sure.
or get one of each.
Get one, yeah. Get something.
And there's some evidence now to show that if you are vaccinated, the effect of being vaccinated is lifetime or very nearly a lifetime effect. Hmm. So it just, if not for your own sake, for the sake of everybody around you, get vaccinated.
We could have some problems. You talked about October, always October surprises. We could have, as the flu season gets cranked up, and if there is this continued reluctance for many in this population not to get vaccinated, we could have a fall surge.
Well, absolutely. And,
yeah.
and keep in mind, we nobody got a cold or the flu this past year because so many people were wearing masks.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so many people are now not wearing masks.
Right.
So as the summer here ends, we could see a normal cold and flu season. And if people carry over their reluctance to be vaccinated for COVID to reluctance to be vaccinated for the flu, then we could see a flu season that somehow conflates or confuses what disease you have.
Mm-hmm.
You know, do I have a cold? Do I have the flu? Is it COVID?
The symptoms are so overlapping.
Absolutely.
So, Shelley, overall, as we here wrap up the first 6 months and begin a new fiscal year, we're doing pretty darn well, aren't we?
We're doing well coming out of a really horrible situation.
Yeah.
The markets are doing well. You will hear from your guest, I'm sure, in the next segment, that the real estate markets are doing better than anybody could have predicted. There are, as we have mentioned on this segment many times, dangers there. Yeah, you know, you hear, you can't turn on the television without somebody telling you how to turn your home into a credit card. Mm-hmm. That was a bad idea in 2006. It is still, for the most part, a very bad idea. You have to be real careful about refinancing. So there are tempting dangers that come along with this burgeoning success. So be really careful. As always, I say, get good advice. Don't do it on your own. It doesn't cost anything to sit down with a financial advisor and at least get another opinion before you make a potentially life-changing financial decision.
All right, Shelley, I hope you have a wonderful 4th of July Independence Day. A holiday will be observed on Monday of next week. So we will be with you on Tuesday, the day after the 4th, which is the holiday observed on the 5th.
Right.
So we'll see you on the 6th.
And Shelley, in all that time, stay safe, Bill.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much. Shelley Fishman, Certified Financial Advisor. Thank you very much. Certified and many, many years. How many years do you think you've been in the financial business?
Well, since 2003. I mean, before that, I was high-tech internet stuff. But
that's right.
But since 2003, so it's you know, a third career. It's great.
All right. Have a great week. Thanks, Shelley. I screwed up.
CBS News Brief. There is still hope in Sunrise, Florida, where 150 people are missing after that condo collapse last week. 11 people are confirmed dead. WFOR-TV reporter Brooke Schaefer.
You might think, okay, they can go floor by floor, but unfortunately that's not really the case. They have to be incredibly careful not to potentially mess up any voids where people could be safe right now.
If you're among those suffering sweltering temperatures from the northwest to the northeast, CBS News meteorologist Jeff Farardelli says get used to it.
Heat waves like this will become more routine as the decades go on as we continue to warm. This is our departure from normal.
General Motors is recalling more than 380,000 SUVs for a second time. WWJ reporter Jeff Gilbert explains.
These vehicles repaired once for a suspension problem, but now it appears that an adjuster may not have been tightened properly, meaning the vehicles could sway at highway speeds.
CBS News Brief. I'm Allison Keyes.
Enjoy the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley. Savor the view while sipping on locally brewed craft beer and enjoying gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, at West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley and on the web at noblehops.com.
Have you ever imagined how your life would be without the modern conveniences you rely on every day? Everything you need depends entirely on products produced from mining. Without mining, think Stone Age. Your work commute might be a bit slower, but you could still have social media. Bathing shouldn't be a problem, but it won't be in a tub. So unless you're a caveman, you can see everything that enriches your life depends on the many miracles from mining. Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
Reed Park Zoo is now open for wildlife walks, a modified guest experience, prioritizing social distancing and safety. To find out more about all the changes and the new safety precautions now in place, visit reedparkzoo.org. The community-approved 10-year master plan ensures that your zoo's future is brighter than ever before. We've missed you, and so have the animals. They're waiting to welcome you back to the Reed Park Zoo.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show Tuesday edition. This portion presented by our friends over at Green Things, our favorite nursery in town, 3384 East River Road. What a beautiful spot right there by the Rito River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park on that 13-acre site, not only home to some amazing plants, but they also have Zocalo Village, all that great merchandise, much of it hand-carved. In Mexico, Latin America, and Europe. Come tour the five shops at Zocalo Village. Their website is zocalovillage.com, and the website for Green Things is greenthingsaz.com. We are in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio, our live line, presented by Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. Let's go now on the live line to the president and board member since 2016, Diane Marzoni, who has been a realtor for 16 years and 10 and a half years of that with Coldwell Banker here in town. Diane, how are you?
I am really good. Thank you for having me.
Big year for the Tucson Association of Realtors, the 100th anniversary of the founding of TAR, the largest trade association in Southern Arizona, with 6,500 members involved in the sale, lease, appraisal, and development of residential and commercial properties. And the market right now, Diane, I guess you could say, is red hot.
It is red hot. And I would probably add a little bit of chaos and some emotion to that as well, because everybody is vying for the same thing. And it's all about supply and demand. And when that happens, not only do emotions run high, but sometimes tempers. So it's been a chaotic time.
You have been in the business for over 16 years. Have you ever seen anything like this in Tucson?
I have not. I got my license just before the craziness of 05 and 06, and I luckily survived the recession and the lovely time of the REOs and short sales and foreclosures. That was a tough time, but then got through that. I've never seen such low inventory in all the years just before I was in real estate, I worked for a developer, so I was still in tune with what was going on. And no, never seen it like this at all.
And one thing that is different, and a lot of people say, oh my goodness, it's a bubble, but I guess this is different than what we saw in 2005 and 6. The banks have certainly adopted or forced to adopt much more stringent lending standards, leading to the lowest ratio of real estate loans to total loans for commercial banks since the 1980s. That's a very good thing, isn't it?
Absolutely. Definitely dealt with a lot of predatory lending in that time frame. A lot of people were extended out where they should not have been. Now I think people are going in not only a little bit more educated, but they've also got hopefully a lender on their side that is assisting them to make sure they're not going outside of what their means are.
Is it interest rates, Diane, that are really now the driving force making ownership possible for so many more people? In the past, it was kind of income and price used to be the deciding factors on whether or not someone could afford to actually buy a home. But would you say it is now interest rates is driving the market?
I would definitely say that's high on the list, because it's, as they say, money is cheap right now. So why not try to take advantage of that? And I think in the same conversation, there's a lot of folks out there that decided to do a refi. So that, in addition to what the buyers are dealing with out there, there's this kind of clog up with appraisals taking longer, that sort of thing, because there's so many people that are going to go out there and say, I'm going to take advantage of what these interest rates are. And from my understanding and what I've heard from several people and the lenders I deal with, and then also the info that comes out from the National Association of Realtors and, of course, state level, is that they probably won't really touch those numbers until next year. And hopefully that maybe fixes or at least starts the correction. But right now it's cheap stuff, so people are going to get out there. But here's the problem. The big word is no inventory. Or low inventory, which is the challenge that we're all facing.
How bad is it now, the inventory situation? If it's a home that's anywhere near, I've heard, if it's a home halfway decent, it's going to sell almost immediately.
Correct. So I'll give you an example. I did a search just before we came on today, just because I was curious about between $200,000 and $300,000 price homes. There are 3,313 that have sold in the last 6 months or so. And the price differential, which is a difference between what you list and what you sell for, back maybe 10 years ago, 5 years ago, even so, any that differential might be 3 to 8%. Now it's over 100%. So people are spending or paying more for the house than the list price. So 101.44% is the differential for that price point. And so what you have is, again, that supply and demand. You have a lot more buyers, where we might actually have about the same inventory number-wise as we did last year, actually a little bit more this year, I think. But because there are so many that come up and they're kind of feeding, you know, like sharks that come out of the water, they're going to feed on that one, and sellers are feeling very emboldened. They are in the driver's seat, and they're able to really direct how that transaction goes.
Diane Marzoni is with us, president of the Tucson Association of Realtors, and this is something new for the Tucson market, kind of these bidding wars. It's gone on in other markets like the Bay Area and places where there have been really high-end kind of homes and shortages mm-hmm. of homes. But this is new for Tucson. So someone puts a home on the market. The seller then determines the way this is going to be driven, correct?
Right. They're going to say, well, hopefully what you've done is not only hired a realtor to help guide you through the market, make sure that you're pricing your house correctly, not necessarily just out there reaching because of what the market's doing. Hopefully you're pricing it correctly. And then what happens is there's such a drive, there's maybe they might, and I can't, of course, guarantee this for everybody, but say they get five offers. And they're able to say, listen, here's the closing date I want. Here are the things I'll do. Here are the things I won't do. buyers are saying, well, I'll give up some things that were rights as a buyer. Say they give up an appraisal, or they may shorten their inspection time, or maybe they'll say, I'll do an inspection, but I'm not going to ask you for any repairs. That's what's driving the buyers now, is like, I got to do something to set myself out from the other four. So yes, the sellers are definitely in that driver's seat and saying, kind of standing there, you know, with their arms folded saying, I'm going to run this. It's unfortunate, but it's just what we're dealing with.
So this is a very important time to pick a realtor that knows what he or she is doing, that's been around, correct?
Exactly. I mean, I know there's some agents out there that are getting into the market now, because we saw that in 05 too. We doubled in size when the market went crazy in 05. So I think that there's some agents out there that are saying the same thing at this point. But there's enough agents out there that definitely hire a realtor. We have to abide by certain ethics and certain education through NAR. And those are the ones that are going to not only guide you to get your house priced correctly, but also do all of that stuff behind the scenes that most buyers and sellers don't even know are happening. The negotiations, the conversations, and a little bit of therapy.
Yeah. Tender, yeah. Loving care has to go into the equation as well, Diane Marzoni. Thank you very much, Diane. It sounds like you're really on top of the game over there at the Tucson Association of Realtors. Appreciate the time for an excellent update on where we are with this market. One final question, Diane. Do you see things slackening off a bit, or right now it's just full speed ahead?
It is pretty much full speed. Generally, we have kind of a yo-yo market in Tucson, where we will kind of slow down in summer, pick back up in fall. But literally, because of the inventory shortage that we're going through, we're plowing through. And I just don't see that really lessening, unless something happens where there's a bunch of people that put their house on the market.
Yeah, because summers were traditionally very slow for our housing market, and then September things really started to kick in. But this time, it's really, there's been no let up, right?
No, not at all. And I think some of that's the driver of people that want to move here to go live a little more less expensive, because they can work from home. So I think that was a driver through COVID, people realizing that they don't need to do the brick and mortar anymore. They can do most of that stuff from home. So that's one of the driving forces too.
All right. You mentioned there were more realtors who had been on the sidelines, now deciding to get back in the game. They have to then go relicense? Just a quick question on that. What's the procedure for that?
Well, we have continuing education that you have to abide by every 2 years. So to renew your license, you have to have a certain amount of classes and that sort of thing. So if you ever let your license lapse, you might have to go back and redo things. But generally, as an agent, we have continuing education that we have to supply every 2 years.
All right. Diane, a pleasure speaking with you. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Have a wonderful day.
You too. Diane Marzoni, she is the president of the Tucson Association of Realtors. Good report on what's going on there. Full speed ahead with our real estate market. Also, our tourism market starting to heat up. We'll hear from Dan Gibson of Visit Tucson with our monthly Tucson Tourism Report right after this.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Hello, I'm Danette Bewley, President and CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority, with news of our new effort to ensure air traveler safety and security going through our terminal. It's called TUS Cares, and you can read more about it on our website, flytucson.com. As you carefully weigh your decision to fly, I want you to know whether it's next week, next month, or next year, we are here for you at Tucson International Airport. Thank you.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. To prepare for ongoing project delivery, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to select projects for a new draft plan. The committee will help identify which projects to invest in to best meet regional transportation needs. Learn more about plan development and provide early input at rtanext.com.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show and the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. Our live line, courtesy of Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. They've been getting a lot of rain over in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico, over the last couple of days, greening up the Gila National Wilderness. So this would be a great weekend to take a road trip, just a 3-hour drive to Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico, for some nice, cool, very moist weather. Some of that rain that we're supposed to get has already been over in New Mexico. Looks pretty good. 68 degrees midday. I could go for that. Right now, over in Silver City, you can start your planning now by visiting southwestnewmexico.org. Had a very interesting hour so far, beginning with Dr. George Hammond at the University of Arizona talking about how our market, the Arizona labor market, is recovering. However, leisure and hospitality is lagging. The help wanted sign seems to be out at every restaurant and hotel in town. Let's welcome now from Visit Tucson, Dan Gibson is with us for our monthly Tucson Tourism Update. Dan, how are you?
I'm good. The Donald Fagen intro. Can I request only Steely Dan intros for all of my appearances on the Buckmaster Show?
Oh, yes. And yeah, you're always a great host, always a great guest host for the Buckmaster Show, not only for the full hour, but when our friend Matt Russell takes a little sojourn over to California, which is coming up for the 4th of July. So Dan, you'll actually be back with us for weekend watch on Friday. Always appreciate your efforts.
All I request is Steely Dan. That's all I ask.
All Steely Dan all the time on the Buckmaster Show. So things are looking better for the hospitality industry, correct?
Well, you know, we're in the possibly the most interesting time in modern history. But, I mean, the fact is that 77% of Americans plan to travel for leisure this summer. They're talking about taking, on average, 1.9 trips in that time frame. So people are really planning to get back out there, right? And a lot of them are planning on staying, as I think, I want to say it's like 50% of them are planning on staying at hotels, and some of obviously staying with friends or other rental properties, things like that. But the challenge is that, you know, there are negative things happening at the same time too, right? People, like you mentioned, the labor shortage is a distinct problem. Airlines, right, Southwest were saying that part of their issue of not having enough flight attendants was creating them to cancel flights this weekend. That happened to me. I'm coming back from Chicago. Yeah, not awesome, but that's okay. You manage.
Yeah.
And so you have those challenges that are happening. In this recent destination analysis analyst survey, they said that 40% of recent travelers said that they believed that the businesses where they traveled were having trouble providing full service. So that labor problem, you know, is a challenge to giving people the experience they want. The upside is that people, regardless otherwise, are like, yeah, let's go. We're going. We're going to go a lot. We're going to do a lot of things.
Yeah, and I've seen that and I look at TripAdvisor a lot. Some higher-end properties, I won't name the properties, but over on the West Coast, where complaints come in from people who are expecting, you know, they're paying a top dollar for 4- and 5-star properties. They were expecting that the property would be up to speed with the food service, the maid service, servicing the room every day. And that didn't happen at several of these high-end properties, and people are disappointed.
It's definitely a challenge, right? I mean, I think people are generally pretty sympathetic or empathetic in a lot of ways. They understand that, like, there are challenges. People are trying to figure things out. I saw a lot more patience on my trip with airlines and, you know, with the flights that were canceled and things like that. The people working in the Denver airport were really lovely and trying to, you know, accommodate people as much as possible and figure that stuff out. But there are distinct challenges to it. Hotel Congress is closing throughout the month of July, right? So that understandable. They're going to get some renovation done and be prepared to sort of bounce back fully in the fall. But, like, that's an asset that is taken away from when we talk about Tucson during that month, right? You know, you're seeing more things open at the Rialto. You're seeing more things happen at the Fox. Thank goodness the Gem and Mineral Museum is in its sort of soft opening here in the courthouse. Like, there are a lot of really positive things happening. But that being said, as expectations are a real challenge there, right? You're paying more for a trip than you ever were. You know, the flights are more expensive. Getting a rental car is a distinct challenge. And the pricing is challenging there as well. So it's like, what are you getting for that trip? And I can't help but believe that is, if people are having subpar experiences or not, things that don't meet their expectations, that's going to lead to some long-term challenges. And, you know, I'm thankful for the sort of hospitality industry here and how quickly it's bouncing back and the hard work that, you know, people that we're associated with, our partners and stakeholders, are putting into it. But it is sort of a team proper. It's a team issue there of trying to get people back to work, get them trained, get them ready to give people great experiences.
Well, who would have ever thought the rental car market would be driving the market right now in some places, namely from my ill-fated trip to Alaska. Unless you have a car planned up in Anchorage many, many months in advance, you're not going to get a rental car. San Francisco is having shortages. It's all over the country. I'm just wondering, have you heard of any rental car shortages here in Tucson, Dan Gibson?
I have not yet, which is good.
Good news, yeah.
It was definitively a thing in Chicago. So I was like, I'm going to look. Maybe I'll get a car, you know, instead of taking the train around. And then I was like, $200 a night. I'm going to pass on that. I'll be all right. The train was lovely. It was great. I got a discounted pass on the L. It was super. But, yeah, it has not happened fully here yet, seemingly. But, yeah, you are seeing people turning to car-sharing platforms and some other sort of workarounds in the meantime. But, yeah, it makes a big difference in a destination like ours. You can get around without a car, especially if you limit your travel to, like, you're wanting to explore a sort of downtown urban core area. But a lot of what we offer, you know, you want to get out there, and there is not, as far as I know, public transportation out to Arizona Sonora Desert Museum, or it's a very long bike ride, or things like that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you just it's much easier to see this destination by car. So yeah, hopefully, I have not heard an update from the airport authority on that yet, but yeah, it's nor have I heard complaints. But so far so good. But hopefully that holds up.
Visit Tucson must be doing something right, because we were named one of the five, hot destinations, was it, by Travel and Leisure magazine, one of the national magazines.
Yeah, Condé Nast Traveler had us on our hot list.
There's
another one as well. Yeah, it's been a really incredible run. There was a feature on Southeast Arizona bird watching in the New York Times two Sundays ago, I want to say. It's hard work. We've really been pushing hard during the pandemic to keep telling Tucson's story and staying in front of journalists that weren't able to travel here. We sent gift boxes, we did webinars, and it's true across our organization. None of us really had the opportunity to sort of stop and, just wait things out. We had to keep in front of people because that momentum is, I felt like we had a lot of really positive momentum about Tucson as a destination going into the pandemic, but we wanted to make sure that we didn't lose all of that. And it's showing up. I mean, we have journalists who are emailing us asking to come here in July, which by and large in the past people were like, I'll wait, thanks though.
There you go.
There's a lot happening. There's a lot of really good things happening, and I think the work that Visit Tucson has done has created a lot of that, and the fact that Tucsonans have dug in to keep this destination alive, the work that like Ray Flores is doing at Charo Concepts and things like that, it's notable.
All right. Thank you very much. We'll talk to you Friday with Weekend Watch. Dan Gibson, thanks.
Always a pleasure.
All right. Dan Gibson, Visit Tucson. I'm Bill Buckmaster, John Couch. Thanks, John, engineering and producing. Have a great afternoon, everybody.